Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's PeopleYouShouldMeet.com tele-seminar called The Rebel's Path to Success. My name is Damien Sen, and in a very short moment from now, I'll be welcoming our very special guest, David DeAngelis. But before I do that, I just thought I'd take a couple of moments up front to let you know how this evening's call will work. Now, we'll be online for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, we will be exploring a whole variety of different questions on our topic of the Rebel's Path. Now, some of the questions will be my own questions, but the vast majority of the questions will come from people who have signed up on the call. Now, I guess in answering the or running the tele-seminar, it's impossible to actually cover all the questions that come in because we have hundreds of questions that do actually come in. So what we've done is we've chosen a handful of questions that are, I guess, representative of the questions that have come through. And hopefully, whether we answer your question or we answer someone else's, do listen out for your answer because you may well actually find has answered indirectly through the call and the course of the conversation. Now, I've actually known David for probably around 4 years on a personal basis, and then we've literally collaborated in a business capacity for much of that time as well. And over the course of our friendship, like he has been someone who's absolutely had a phenomenal impact on my life, and also a phenomenal impact on my business and I guess my way of seeing things in the world. Now, David himself has been on a personal pursuit of freedom that's probably extended probably to around 20 years now, and he's explored many different paths in the personal development sphere, from S-training to Landmark to Taoism to Shamanism to NLP. He's pretty much done the full gambit. And I guess through looking across this whole series of different mental and spiritual and emotional disciplines, he's really been able to distill a very simple and compelling path to freedom. And I'm very excited about what he's actually going to share with us this evening. So welcome to the call, my very good friend, David DeAngelis.
Hey, Damien. How you doing? Nice to be here.
I'm good. We're very, very excited about our topic this evening.
Indeed.
Certainly one of my favourites.
Me too.
Great. So I thought I'd just start you at the very top, David, and ask you exactly what is the Rebel's Path to Success?
Well, the Rebel's Path to Success, it conjures up all sorts of different images, even as you say it there. So the ultimate answer is that I don't know. And I'd just like to say up front that everything I say on this call is effectively made up, and I'm not saying that anything I say is true. So it's really about a journey of discovery. Now, if I had to define what, in my view, the Rebel's Path to Success is, for me, it's about moving through life with flexibility. It's about an ever-active curiosity of what sits outside of what's already known. It's a way of delighting and seeing that everything, contrary to what we're told, everything is actually exactly where it needs to be. And that's the point that we work from. It's also seeing that we're ultimately not the managing directors of our life, and that we are here on this earth. The only thing I can deduce from all the different disciplines, as you mentioned, that I've gone into, from yoga, meditation, NLP, shamanism, is that ultimately the rebel's path to success, or the reason, the raison d'etre of life, is that we're here to invent. And in essence, the title is a kind of paradox, because I personally feel that in a sense there is no such thing as success in the conventional way that we're taught about success. My own feeling on this is that as a culture, we're pretty much sold a lie. And the rebel, where the rebel comes in. I mean, maybe it should be slightly more even outlaw, kind of outlaw energy. And the job of the rebel is really to uncover what I call the dream that sits within the dream. And the rebel's job within that sphere of invention is to expose limitations and actually make a gift of that seeing to the world. And really understanding fully that there is no success without all our success. And the kind of success that we've been scored in and been taught to pursue is actually a success of only the few at the expense of everybody else. And that, in my books, has got nothing to do with success. Now, there's an interesting part about all of this, and one of the things that I say, and this is sometimes kicks a lot of things in people, is that it's ultimately about seeing that we are not responsible at all. We're not responsible for anything. We have no responsibility. We are not put on this planet with like Newton's empirical empirical truths. Probably Newton's isn't an empirical truth, but something like the golden mean is something that seems to be interwoven and written into the laws of nature. Now, responsibility isn't there. I don't feel it's an empirical law of nature. Now, the real power in our lives is when, in the face of knowing that we have absolutely no responsibility, in the face of that, and it's actually a very big kind of wave that's just waiting to break over us, in the face of that, we actually choose to be responsible. And we choose to be responsible for our actions. And that choice is actually freedom. It's the choice that gives us freedom. And it's that choice, when we say that I'm 100% responsible for what I see and what I experience, it's really only then that I feel that we can step into that path of success, and that is an empowering moment. The other forms of success are, I feel, very disempowering, and the rebel's path to success is, in my opinion, is when we are actively living through choices that are alive in us, choices that illuminate the limitations that are imposed on us, and they, in a way, they're like a beacon that lights up the way for everyone that comes into our contact with us to also experience that freedom, and then into, in a sense, almost to connect with that force and to begin living in that vital force themselves, and for others to almost like a sympathetic resonance, you know, where other people then can also create and explore something and open up all sorts of different possibilities in their lives. So, you know, the rebel's path to success is almost like a slight dig at this conventional concept of success. And in a sense, the rebel is someone far from being someone that actually has no responsibility. It's someone that is choosing to be responsible for illuminating limitations and holding the space for people to actually step into their own power. So that, in essence, is what I mean by the rebel's path to success.
Wow, that is very, very inspirational. And there's so many threads beautifully weaved into that response. I'd love to pick up on most of them. But one of the concepts that you revealed there, which certainly really, really resonates with me personally, is the notion of success is impossible without the success of the majority of people that we share the planet with. And I guess the traditional notion of success is that I win and you lose, or you win and I lose. And I think moving into a space and time where we're pursuing outcomes that not only benefit us personally in that pursuit of what it is that we search for, but also outcomes that really bring alive possibilities in in terms of all the people that, that we happen to share the planet with.
Mm,
so that really had a deep resonance with me. Now, David, I just wanted to ask, like I've known you for 4 years, as I mentioned earlier on, and pretty much for the most of those 4 years, you have had that rebelled outlook, and I was just wondering if you were born rebellious in nature, or is it something that you've cultivated over time?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? Like, are we born rebellious? I think we're born free, to coin a phrase there. I think that in a sense, because we're so dictated to by the way we're brought up, the culture we're brought up in, the atmosphere we're brought up in, it's very difficult to really pinpoint whether that's something, an inherent thing that could be included in human nature. I think within human nature there's a natural curiosity, and also if you really look at, you've only got to look at children, that we learn through play and we learn through experimenting with the world. And there's a great quote that the guru Osho put forth, and he was saying that one of the reasons that he was able to feel so liberated in his life was that he didn't go to school until he was something like 10 years old or so, and he was just left to roam around and explore and literally play with life himself. For me personally, I was brought up in a very kind of dry suburban atmosphere. I mean, my parents were pretty wayward, and they were the kind of wild cards in that whole environment. And I often look back and think, how on earth did they wind up in such a kind of straight-laced area? But it was kind of a suburb of London, sort of East 18, which is like sort of just on the outskirts of London. And really there was nothing particularly special or interesting about those early years. I pretty much sort of went along with most things. I suppose in all honesty, I sort of did have a sense that a lot of the things that I was told weren't necessarily true. But as a small child, it's always difficult to really understand that as a principle. I think the real penny dropped for me when I was probably about 14 or 15, and I had a teacher at school who was a very radical thinker, and he gave me a book of Carlos Castaneda's The Teachings of Don Juan, which in those days was a radical move. And incidentally, he was an absolutely amazing teacher, and then very quickly got the sack and replaced by someone who had very little imagination and real zest for life. But I didn't really understand what Castaneda was saying or what Don Juan's teachings were saying, but suddenly, in a sense, with just flicking through that book and the kind of imagery that, you know, Don Juan was the sort of shaman sorcerer, and the idea of this kind of sorcery and you know, it was like I suddenly saw that the world that I thought were fit was fixed, that things that I had in my mind couldn't be moved. The world, in a sense, that I'd been completely immersed in was actually no more real than the moon being made of cream cheese, I suppose. You know, I really got a sense that these things that I thought were so real and so important weren't fixed entities in reality. And that was quite a startling revelation for me at that age. And it, in a sense, what it did do was kick off a lot of problems for me at school. And I began to sort of really question the things that I was being told, and I began to explore more deeply into the nature of what these truths are that we all accept around us. And of course, you know, you can imagine being in that kind of sort of really quite steady environment, and you know, having a more curious approach to things just didn't really. So I suppose there was a sense that I was rebelling against those kind of things that I was told, and it, you know, it didn't always serve me in terms of keeping the status quo and the peace in those days. So, but I'm not sure I was born a rebel, but I sure as hell became one, as they say.
Yeah, I've just personally just been dipping into Castaneda's works as well, and I've just been finding them incredibly illuminating and thought provoking. Now, I guess the big question that I want to ask is, like, have you got any interesting stories where you've actually broken the rules and won?
It's a really interesting way to explore life, and I suppose this notion of, like, breaking the rules and winning is what I enjoy doing. Is I don't enjoy breaking rules, which is like implies that I'm going there with a stick. I've got to bash my way through them. What I really enjoy is opening these things that we think are, like I said earlier, are fixed and are immovable, so-called immovable. I enjoy kind of just opening those things up and often watching them fall apart when they're challenged on that level. And one of my favorite words in the English language is actually no. I love the word no. And I've found over the years that no is really, it's just a position. It's just a position along a particular road. And it can be moved, it can be manipulated. You know, you can do all sorts of things with the word no. It's actually a fantastic opportunity. The word no is an opportunity. And I suppose the stories, there's many, many stories where I've not accepted the word no, and from that opened up, you know, tremendous opportunities for myself. But many of them have been in business, and I can remember when I was running my design and media company, often I would we would go and pitch for a job, and sometimes we'd get a letter back from or a phone call saying, you haven't got the job, we've given it to someone else. And I love that, because what I would then do is just completely make up the rules about what the etiquette of this approaching people and how you should approach them, that you should always stand down gracefully and all of this kind of thing. You know, and I just didn't play cricket on that level. You know, I wasn't waiting for the sort of polite cricket applause when I walked off the field with out for a duck, so to speak. And I would often sort of employ quite guerrilla tactics, and you know, I'd wait for the MD of a particular company when he came out of a restaurant, and you know, present something to him as he was walking back to his car or something like, you know, so just really making up the rules for myself on these things, and just not accepting the way, the methodologies that everybody else was following. You know, it wasn't that I didn't have respect for these other people, but I always felt I was holding out a space for them to step into something that's more empowering, like I said earlier, kind of illuminating the path. And, you know, I just, over the years, I've just seen that pretty much everything that we feel is fixed and immovable and non-negotiable is actually negotiable and movable and flexible. You just have to get in there, and also, you know, I suppose it's slightly just having the balls to stand up and say, look, I don't necessarily believe that's true. Let's investigate. So, you know, the ability to investigate what we're told and to delve more deeply into these things opens up all sorts of other possibilities in there. And also it makes life so much more playful and enjoyable. And you often find that when you're prepared to step into that way of working, that way of living, it you do invoke a lot of joy in people. And often I would get jobs that I'd lost originally. I'd be reinstated as the person doing the job. And people would often, you know, almost, you know, just be really amused at the fact that I would employ these different techniques. So I think, you know, there isn't a particular one story, but there, you know, I think it's more held in a kind of approach to not necessarily accepting these things that we're told, and not always feeling that we have to kind of, you know, put our head down and get off and, you know, play gracefully, as if it were, you know. So I think there's many different ways of approaching life, and you know, there's not accepting things like no is a very fun and, you know, playful way of dealing with life.
Excellent, that's a terrific answer. And I must admit, I've certainly enjoyed that aspect of your nature in working with you over the past 3 years. Certainly made things very, very interesting indeed, and fun. And I guess the big thing, yeah, just always pushing the boundaries of what's possible. And like, I've loved the way that we both have actually brought that ethos into in particular the Dream Your Business program. That we just literally just covered over the period of September and October, and beginning again in February. Now, David, I mentioned that we had so many questions actually come in through the site, and I've actually chosen a few that I thought were very very thought-provoking and illuminating. And the actual standard of questions that came through really were phenomenal. And certainly stimulated my imagination in ways that I wasn't anticipating. So I just wanted to thank everyone for their great questions. So I guess the first question I wanted to start with was from Lindy in Australia. And Lindy asks, where do you actually start on the Rebel's path?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's actually a really, really easy, simple question to answer. And I think with so much of life that we feel that we need to find complexity, and we're searching. The mind is always searching for complexity. And I would say that, did you say it was Lindy? Lindy from Australia.
Lindy, I think.
Lindy, yeah. That just start at the most obvious place. The most obvious place is, first of all, is the breath that comes into your body, and then the thought that you don't know where to start. The thought that you don't know where to start is where you start. But this time, instead of blocking the confusion and, you know, even maybe the fear, you let it show you. You journey into it, and you journey into that not knowing where to start. And all the time, you know, you're just saying, what is this not knowing stopping me from seeing? You know, what is it? What is it protecting me from? What's on the other side of not knowing? I mean, you could say, well, maybe the other side of not knowing is, of course, to know. So there's a great saying that the door to heaven has been placed on the other side of hell. Now, this is just a metaphor, and I'm not, you know, in a sense, we create our own hell, and through the illusions and misconceptions and the stories we weave for ourselves. But what this illustrates is that when we, with things like confusion, confusion is a not knowing habitual response or reaction. And we so often practice the art of not knowing. In the sense that, I don't mean that in the Zen sense, because you say not knowing is the ultimate satori, but I mean the state of not being resourceful. And really, you start at that very point of not knowing. That's your inroad. That's the door in. And that's the part, you know, really the discomfort of that is the part that, in a sense, you've probably always been trying to avoid, and all the time you're looking outside of yourself for that answer, that reference, the search perpetuates, and you will never, ever start. You'll never know where to start. That's what happens. That's the way the mind works. The mind wants to keep the search going. Our structures in society want to keep us out there searching, and really, just go into it, go deeply into it, sit with it, sit with that not knowing, stare it down, you know, sit with it. A bit like Gandhi, you know, when someone said to him, what should we do to get the British out? He didn't avoid that. He went inside, and he wouldn't give an answer until he was clear about it. And he, you know, all sorts of things would come up and go down and come up and go down. And, you know, just be very, very simple with yourself. Be very patient with yourself, you know, and just find out what not knowing, you know, where do you start? That not knowing, that uncertainty, that confusion, you know, what is that communicating to? What's in it? What's on the other side of it? And I think to start from the very point of not knowing is the most powerful entry into that. And not knowing where to start is where you start. So in a sense, the question contains its own answer. So, you know, that's what I would say to you, Lindy, if you're at that point now where you just feel, I don't know, you know, I would just go journey into that, you know, make that exploration of that a deep exploration. And also within that, allow yourself to just sit in it instead of, you know, moving away and distracting yourself with, you know, other questions around it. You know, just sit with that one and go deeply into it.
Mm. That's a really, really powerful answer. Great. Now we have a question from Francie, and Francie's in the UK, and Francie asks, how do I manage my rebellious nature in a positive, fruitful, and prosperous manner?
Mm. Hi, Francie. Thank you very much. Great question. And I would say, again, you know, like I said right at the start, that nothing I say is true here. So these are just little snippets of little sound bites pouring out of a particular angle of reality, which calls itself David DeAngelis. It doesn't mean that anything I say is true. Now, I would say that you don't manage it. Don't manage it at all. How do I manage? You don't rein it in. You don't rein your rebellious nature in. You don't censor it. Because that's what you've always done, in effect. I mean, I'm generalizing here, but there seems to be something in that question. And really, I would say the key to that question is in the word manage. And it's like that compulsion to manage, to try and place a condition on the possibility of living freely and creatively. And that stops it. As soon as you place a condition on something that is inherently free and unconditional, then you're literally the hamster on the wheel. And in a sense, you could say that you've never let go of needing to manage. And I suppose think what that word is linked to. You know, like, for example, when we're not doing so well, people often say, you know what, I'm managing. And, you know, it's, for me, it's a word that disempowers. And it's a way of looking at things that doesn't allow your natural power to come through. So, you know, for goodness sake, don't manage it. Managing is actually the booby prize. It's the used light bulb. See what will happen if you allow what your spirit wants to say. Allow yourself to be held by the sacredness of life, in effect. Allow yourself to say, in inverted commas, the wrong things, to do, in inverted commas, the wrong things, to explore the absolute opposite of what that manager in you would have you do, that little munchkin behind the curtain that's managing your life. You know, you don't have to do what it says, you know. And I would say that in terms of you saying fruitful and prosperous, in fruitful and prosperous manner, I believe that was what the wording you used. You know, I don't feel that when you are in that space of allowing and you are in that innocence of allowing, I feel that the actual goodness of who you are moves you. And I don't feel that you're going to say things that are going to harm others. I think because those are things that are done from a point of protection and contraction. When you're not trying to manage this thing called your life, you bring about a creative play with life. And in a sense, you'll know which rules to break because you kind of, you feel deadened by those things. And those things don't move you. They're actually moving you in the opposite direction from aliveness and the truth that actually sits inside you. So I would say give the manager the sack, you know, just fire the manager and just go with those natural impulses. You know, see where they lead you. See what they give you. See what answers they provide for you. And, you know, just don't try and manage them.
Great. Definitely like the sound of that. Fire the manager, having been on the other end of being fired by many managers in my time. I got quite like the opposite. Great. Okay, so we've got a question here from Illinois in the UK as well. And Illinois asks, when should you absolutely not break the rules?
Well, it's a bit, again, like a paradox, slightly paradoxical question, because you could say that in the rules, there's no time when you should absolutely not break the rules. But let's play with this for a little bit. Now, I would say that in, you know, if we turn this to like real practical levels, when there's a possibility of causing unnecessary suffering, of course you wouldn't step in and start, you know, playing around with things if you see that your actions are causing unnecessary suffering. You know, when you're going against what you intuitively, I'm talking about intuitively, know are your core values. You know, when you sense that you're moving against something that you truly, that's a really important value for you, then, you know, it's like looking at these things and looking at the rules and always asking yourself the question, you know, is there an inner feeling of truth? Because there's an inner feeling of truth that tells us that this is for the greater good of life. And it sits within all of us, you know. Anyone that tells you that they're special because they've got that, they're not special. There is actually no such thing as special people. There's no special people. There's no liberated people. No one's special. We're all just made of the same stuff. And we all have access to that truth. We all have access to that feeling. You know, I'm not special in any way, shape, or form. And the greatest gift, in a way, is to just offer up something and ask people to explore that. So I would say, don't take any of your reference points from what I'm saying about rules. Take the reference points from yourself, from your inner truth, your inner feeling. Ask yourself that deep question when you approach something that you feel, is this something I want to move through? Is this something that I should break? Is this a rule that I should break or prize open or ignore? You know, really ask that question within yourself, and don't take your reference points and what other people are doing. Take back your own power and know that within yourself you really have that power, and it sits within you. It sits within absolutely everybody. And, you know, to really feel that and live it, and, you know, you will know what rules to break or to ignore or move past. You will know that in yourself.
Okay, great. Great response. Now, this one's from Anne in the United Kingdom, and Anne asks, as one breaks out of one's previous chrysalis, what is your best advice for dealing with the aloneness and the void that can occur between the former life and the new flight to freedom? In my experience, if you do the journey authentically, there is a readjustment, or even loss of friends, family, income, workplace, and colleagues, etc., etc. What are your comments on that one?
That's a great, it's a fantastic question. In fact, they're all fantastic questions. and it's great because it really does challenge me to dig deep and find, you know, let these answers come through. You know, I would say that in stepping into a field of your truth and freedom, you actually become a force in nature that stands for that. You become a force in nature that now stands for something, you know. And that force, that thing that you are standing for, that thing is now present in nature, in the space that you occupy in nature, in reality, will both attract and repel. You know, but I suppose very importantly, You know, when you become a space for your highest truth to be expressed, you're also taking a stand, like we said earlier, for everyone else. In effect, what you're doing is you're cleaning up what's not true for you, and you're living in a way that no longer allows the drama, the embellishments and the stories and the limitations to push you off center. So in effect, what you're doing by moving into this way of living, taking the first step on the path, is that you've entered a way of living that takes its reference from, as we talked about all the way through this call, you take your reference from an inner, rather from the inner realms rather than the outer realms. And in doing so, you transform the outer world. The outer world transforms, you know. And I firmly believe that life is always open to being fully lived and expressed, you know. And when you're kind of connected to that raw flow, that raw, you know, innocent, free flow of life, you know, that, you know, it becomes apparent that there is no aloneness. You're not alone in that. Now, although people may around you may around that space may find that they cannot be in that space, and they may move away. And in that, your job is not to try and hold on to them, but rather to just hold the space in your heart for them to find their passion. You know, to be prepared to love them no matter what they may say. Whether they're close to you or away from you, it is a practice of becoming fully alive within yourself. It's a practice of, like I said earlier, taking 100% responsibility for the experiences that you have in your life. And actually, you know, when you're in that space, all sorts of things initially can happen. There can be a period of readjustment where suddenly you're not the person you used to be to some people. And often that can be when a person is invested in your limitations and you're invested in their limitations. And suddenly when you unplug from that, then you're not feeding that part of them, that energy that allows them to continue being limited. And that can be very uncomfortable for people around you. And the way through that is to not buy back into the dramas, you know, and those stories that go on around this. And to just be very simple in your approach to them. Be very, very simple and just hold that space of love for them. And, you know, you may find that some people will go away. And then once they've gone away, they will, you know, they actually feel that there was something that they feel more alive as a result of that contact with you, and they may very well come back into, you know, their sphere and start to transform on their particular journey. You know, so it's a very open process. There can be a sense of kind of outer aloneness, but I think there's an inner richness and there's an inner connectedness when you're really living that doesn't, you don't feel alone. You know, you feel that you are fully connected to life. So, you know, that's my experience of it anyway.
I just love what you just said there with the you become a force of nature when you stand for something. That's really, really, really powerful. And so when you're making a stand, you do create that space for real power to flow through you, and certainly just really experiencing that for myself, where, yeah, I've just gone and made a stand for what I believe in. Like, literally, the resources that I have available to me have just absolutely multiplied. And the fear that existed before making that decision really just subsides into nothingness. But I also liked what you said there about investing in each other's limitations and how people actually hold each other in these circles of discontent and these circles of limitation. And as soon as one person makes a break from that sense of limitation, what it actually does is it creates the opportunity for that limitation in the other person to liberate itself as well. So, yeah, some really, really powerful answers there. Okay, we've got a question from Mary in Canada. And Mary asks, I am 49 now, and often I am catching myself already acting like my mum and doing some things which I was resenting in her, for example, crying without any apparent reason. What's the best way to change my genetic baggage?
That's a powerful question. Did you say it was from Mary or?
Mary.
Mary.
Mary, oh, in Canada,
nice,
yeah.
That's a nice name. Hi, Mary. Well, thank you for this question. And I mean, my answer to that is, I would say, like, there's a story, and again, it is a story, and you know, you can say this in many different ways, and it's a very shamanic way of looking at the world. And they say, like, you come into the world with two lives, you know, the one that you inherit and the life that you create. And in a sense, that's something that all you really need to keep in mind with this, because there is always that space available for you to create something different. And really, that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at those differences between creating from a space of freedom, which we might call a possibility, or creating from, or trying to create from a space of where the past is actually dictating the rules of how we can create. And I mean, it can be a bit scary. I know. I remember looking in the mirror a couple of years ago and thinking, "My goodness, I'm looking more and more like my dad," and and actually feeling quite concerned about that up on stage. And then the more I've looked at it, I've thought that, in a sense, I suppose it's a wonderful opportunity to really to allow those things in my dad that I found unpalatable, for want of a better way of putting it, to really see how those things are expressed in me, and know that in many ways I'm kind of the vehicle in which those things can be healed. My dad's no longer alive, and I feel very strongly that a lot of those traits within my dad and things that he was stuck with in life, and things that he found difficult about life, it's an opportunity for me to, instead of again running away from those things and saying, "Oh my God, no, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to look my dad, I don't want to act like my dad, I don't want to sound like my dad," is to think, "I am my dad. You know, my dad is me, and you know, we are one. We're connected." And to really understand that and connect more deeply with him as a person, and connect more deeply with him as a soul on his journey, whether you believe in souls, it doesn't matter. It's just a way of, it's just a phraseology or terminology. You know, and I think with, you know, when you say, you know, you're catching yourself already, you know, acting like your mum, and instead of, you know, feeling that that's something, a kind of repulsion, and, you know, doing the same things that you resented in her, it's a wonderful invitation for you to really feel that compassion for your mum, and to really understand that no matter what you might think of her, and no matter what's gone on in the relationship, you know, she was doing the very best that she could with the resources and the knowledge and all the things that she had available for her. And it's a real opportunity for you to really connect more deeply with her, and connect more deeply with her energy, and to really, in a sense, when that healing takes place on that level, you'll probably find that you will change, and you'll probably find that your mum will change as well. And I can remember with my parents that I did, you know, many of those things that I felt that I didn't want to be. Well, as soon as I connected more deeply with them, I noticed that my parents actually changed. You know, it was a really, it was again saying that I'm not separate from them. You know, they are part of me, as is everybody else. And to really honor that, things that you notice, and go into those things that you feel are irritating you, and deepen your connection with your mum. So instead of pulling away from it, go deeper into it and really investigate it, and really find the love that's contained in those things, and realize that those are the things that she was doing with the resources that she had available. So I think it's just a really amazing opportunity for you to deepen that connection rather than feeling that it's something that you need to move away from. And in doing that, what you'll find is that you will then be in a position to start making those choices that could be very, very different. And you will be in a position to manifest those things in your life because you've looked at the things that were causing you that discomfort. You've not run away from them. You've gone deeply into them. You've had a relationship with them. You understand them. They are no longer the dragons chasing you down. You know, you see that they're not fire-breathing dragons. They're fluffy kittens, really. So.
Cool. That's a great answer. Now, we had a great number of questions that actually came in about financial concerns of actually stepping out and being your truth and breaking the rules and being in your power. And I'm just going to ask the question that Deborah sent in from South Africa. And Deborah asks, how do you cope with the uncertainty, not having any money to follow your true purpose?
That's a great question again. And it's one that has many, many different levels and many different facets to it. It seems like a simple question, but it's a very deep question. And it's something that I've tackled many times, I've faced many times in my life. And I have often asked that question, how do I move forward when it seems like I just don't have the resources I need to do this? And I've come to a very, very simple, again, very simple and direct answer to this quandary. And the simplest answer is that you always have the exact amount of money that you need in order to do exactly what it is that you need to do. And that is an answer that often has people bubbling up. I've said this when I've given talks and stuff like that and workshops, and I've seen, almost the veins throbbing in people's necks where they want to stand up and say, how dare you say that? If I had this amount of money, I would certainly set up this foundation for this and that. How can you say that? It's complete untruth. But look at it very, if you look at it incredibly logically, incredibly pragmatically, where you are now in your life, right in this moment, you have a certain amount of money. No matter what that money is, whether it's $10, £10, or $1 million, £1 million, or whatever, it doesn't matter what the amount is. The point is, you have an amount of money, and you can be nowhere else other than where you are now. And it's so simple. If you are where you are now and you have the amount of money that you have now, that is exactly the right amount of money that you have. No more and no less. And whatever amount of money you have now is the invitation and the possibility and the delight, the play. I think the invitation is probably the most appropriate word for you to now create whatever you want to create. And, we look throughout history and we look at people that have achieved the most astonishing things in the world. And I would say lack of money or lack of resources has played a very minimal part in those. Or rather, it's played a massive part because the majority of them don't start off with the resources they need or have the money to make things happen that they, So it's again a thing that we're told that I'll be able to do this when I've got this amount, the right amount of money, and the right amount of money seems to be somewhere, some amorphous cloud in the future. And actually you've already got exactly the right amount of money, whatever that amount of money is right now, to do whatever you want to do. And that is where your power sits. And the minute you step out of that, you're in a fantasy. You're in some other reality. You're in a dream world. The reality is that you've got the right amount of money that you've got right now. and you don't need to look anywhere else other than what's sitting right under your nose in order to go out and do exactly what you want to do in life. You know, the invitation's there, the opportunity's there, and it doesn't matter what state you're in, whether you're tall, thin, big, small, you know, it doesn't matter. That opportunity is where you're sitting right now, listening to this call maybe. You know, from here it springs.
Great answer. Now, we're coming up to the hour, David, and literally we have covered some phenomenal ground this evening. And I have no doubt that people on the call will want to know more about your work. As I mentioned earlier on, well, we actually collaborate a fair bit and have done so over the last 3 or 4 years. And I was just wondering if you could share with people exactly how they can connect with you more fully and more deeply with your work and share some of the programs that you are currently offering.
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of the real passions in my life is to take a lot of the principles that we've spoken about today and, you know, to really translate those things into creating powerful opportunities and powerful businesses for ourselves in the world. And I think up until now, there's been so many negative connotations and so many supposed limitations on what's possible for us to create in this life. And one of the things, like I said, that I'm absolutely passionate about is business. And I personally feel it's an area where we can really bring this whole notion of freedom and creativity to life. We can truly embody that within the businesses we create, and that becomes a force, like we said earlier, in nature. Now, you know, Damien, I don't have to tell you that we've literally just launched our February Dream Your Business Into Being program. And if people would like to create a business that they feel has this, you know, real inspirational energy about it, and a business that comes from that real true creative point in themselves, and, you know, importantly, a business that also works and delivers real financial rewards, then I would definitely check out the website, www.dreamyourbusiness.com. And, you know, that's something that I feel is going to grow and grow. It's a real energy in the world. If you are interested in, I'm actually running a workshop with my good friend Steve Nobel this coming Saturday. And that's really about, again, incorporating a lot of these ideas and a lot of these ways of freeing yourself up from limitations and really stepping into your own power and creativity. And you can check that out on www.dreamyouryear.com. And, you know, if that's something that appeals to you to make 2009 something that, you know, you can really feel is an amazing launch pad for the rest of your life, really. That would be a good one to come along with. And, you know, generally, if you want to check out the moneyshaman.com, there's lots of things always up there, and there's an events calendar you can check out when I'm giving talks or when I'm delivering different programs. So, you know, it's a good idea to keep an eye on that website, and because I'm regularly updating that with all sorts of different things, and there's loads of freebies on there and free audios that you can check out and articles and all sorts of different things. So just keep your eye on that.
Fantastic. And just with regards to the Dream of the Year, now, I guess in the personal development arena, you see lots of programs that are launched towards the end of a year or early in the new year around, I guess, goal setting and setting a path for the year ahead. I was just wondering, like, is it a Dream Your Year workshop this weekend? Is it a traditional type of personal development event?
No,
or given
absolutely
the
not.
Is it the essence of rule breaking? Is it something else on offer there?
Oh God, absolutely not. If anyone mentions New Year's resolutions or that sort of conventional goal setting to me, I'm running in the opposite direction. No, you know, my theory on this whole thing is that if you really create a wonderful, compelling space within yourself, a beautiful, powerful vision, you don't have to do those stressful goal setting things. So you actually turn the things that you really want to happen in your life, you turn those into attracting forces that literally, you know, pull you towards them. So it's not that kind of pushing from behind. So the workshop is going to be, it's a very magical, experiential workshop. I'm not going to give away all the different things, but, you know, suffice to say that the whole tradition of goal setting and New Year's resolutions is going to be firmly dumped in the wastebasket. None of that at all. We're going to be looking at how you can really manifest powerful things in your life in a really delightful, playful way. Certainly not the old punishing way of New Year's resolutions, which pretty much don't work for most people. And you've only got to look at gym memberships to realize that. So, we'll be looking at some very different magical, shamanic, also very practical stuff. We'll be using visualization, NLP, all sorts of different ways of creating practical steps for yourself as well. So it's a real mixture, but ultimately we're looking at the notion of making 2009 the things that you really want to happen, making those real active living possibilities within you right now. So it's not something that you're gonna, you know, you're gonna have to try and keep going, you know, like a New Year's resolution, because those things will be, you know, actively in you, and you'll be able to just step in and start living them, you know, living them from literally the moment you're in that workshop. So that's why it's going to be a powerful day.
Great. I guess with the Dream Your Business program as well, there are many different, I guess, business coaching programs on the market as well. And does the Dream Your Business program embody that same kind of energy for you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing with most business programs, and you know, I'm someone who's successfully set up businesses for many, many years now, and you know, I've run conventional businesses and. In the sense that I've gone down, you know, looking at how to do things in the way I'm told I should run a business. And what I discovered was that these sort of fixed parameters of business are actually, again, not true. You don't have to run a business in those fixed ways. And over the years, you know, both you and I, Damon, we've experimented with all sorts of different creative ways of making things happen in business, and really building businesses that fully express who we are, the energy that we want to put out into the world. And really what the Dream Your Business program is, it's specifically for people that have a creative profile, a creative disposition, and that are basically very turned off by those really dry, uninspiring, you know, in many ways, quite dead ways of approaching business. This is really about approaching business from a point of true innovation, but also getting to the point that I've talked about previously, this real kind of deep simplicity. So it's about knowing that you can establish a business that really works for you and really gets your message out into the world and, you know, and stands as something that gives you that financial that flow of financial abundance, but it's actually really simple and it's very creative, and that's something that's a living reality in terms of creating a business, because you know both you and I have done that, and we are literally passing on our direct experience of how to do that to people. And you know the program that we literally just finished when was it? I can't remember. We finished it a couple of weeks ago or something. And, you know, it was just taking 26 people through that experience and really just seeing the amazing transformations they had in their ideas about business was just a delight. So, you know, I would, you know, just really encourage people to check out the website, and, you know, you can read firsthand those experiences that people have had. They're all up on the website. So, you know, just feel free to check that out.
Cool. And I certainly wholeheartedly endorse that, and very, very excited myself about co-facilitating that powerful work with the world. Great, David. Now, we're literally coming up to the end of the hour, and I just really, the last thing for me to do is actually to extend my deep thanks and gratitude for sharing your wisdom this evening over the past hour. But, I guess from a personal perspective, thank you for sharing your deep wisdom with me over the past 4 years. I guess, having you in my life has really just been so illuminating, and it's helped me move into a very, very powerful space in my own life. And each time we get together to collaborate is really a joy for me. We literally do that every single day, and it's just.
Well, I would say just on that point that you're a very wise man in a young body, and I'm also learning so much from working with you. And I'd just like to say that this people you should meet is, I'm just looking at it and just thinking, my goodness, what an absolutely phenomenal resource this is. It's truly amazing. And, I'd just like to congratulate you and acknowledge you for the amazing commitment and dedication that you've put into this to getting, innovative ideas and concepts and new ways of looking at the world and experiencing the world and business and all sorts of different things. It really is a credit to you, and it's an honor to be invited onto the program and have this conversation with you. So, thank you very much from my end too.
Cool. Thank you. And also that thanks extends to each and every single one of you listening at home live, or whether it's you're listening back to this through the recordings page on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website. It's a real pleasure and an honour to be of service in this way. I guess the People You Should Meet philosophy is all about provoking interesting discussion and provoking inspiring thoughts throughout the world. So we really honour your participation in this. We love receiving your well thought out questions from week to week, and certainly just receiving the questions on a weekly basis has added tremendously to my own personal growth. And I guess by standing up and asking the powerful questions that lie or reside within inside of you, it also gives other people around the world an opportunity to benefit from your insights and grow along with us all as well. So if you want to download this recording, it will be available on the recordings page tomorrow as a whole series of a very, very powerful interview designed to really enable you to live life as a full and rich experience. And I guess just in closing, David, I was just wondering if you had any final words of wisdom or advice that you would like to share with, I guess, people considering or are already on the Rebel's path to success.
I suppose really that in many respects to not try and make the effort to free yourself up from guilt or any of these things, and to really honour yourself on your journey. And the more you honour yourself, the more you really touch that part of you that is really connected to the source, love, whatever you want to call it, you will just find extraordinary things take place in your life. And it's a real active force. It's a real active way of being in the world. And, I think if I had anything to really leave people on is to really, get into that state of being and live from that state of being, and action springs forth from that, and it's really powerful action. And it's the kind of thing that you there's a wonderful film called Man on a Wire, and I don't know whether anyone's seen it, but I would highly recommend it. And that kind of sums up what I'm saying, that when you're really coming from that space, extraordinary things can happen in your life. It can happen to all of us. Like I said earlier, there's no one that's special in that way. It's available for us, and just to really believe that and live it is a very amazing experience in your life. And I just want that for everybody in a way.
Great. Thanks very much, David, and thank you everyone at home. And we look forward to having you on peopleyoushouldmeet.com call very soon.